This is Free With Ads, the podcast that asks the question, why pay an indie movie theater $10 to see a midnight screening of the Rocky Horror Picture Show when you can go online for free and watch a similarly toned camp musical, get to bed at a reasonable hour, and not risk getting a thigh rash from discount fishnets? I'm Jordan Morris.
And I'm Emily Fleming. Today's movie is The Phantom of the Paradise, the 1974 musical extravaganza directed by Brian De Palma and co-written by a wheelbarrow full of cocaine.
With us, as always, is the super producer, the he freak, Matt Lieb, hitting us with those decadent drops.
Carburetors, man. That's what life is all about.
Yep. Best thing in the movie. Easy.
Carburetors, man.
This movie hates the Beach Boys.
Like, I know.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Shots fired, for sure. Of course, the guy who directed Scarface hates the Beach Boys. Yeah. Like, it makes total sense.
He doesn't like fun. He doesn't like beach. He doesn't like car.
No, not at all.
We're going to talk about The Phantom of the Paradise, which is, as of this recording, streaming free with ads. But before that, we're going to dive into our email inbox in a segment we call We Got Mail.
You got mail.
Woo!
I want to say a couple of things about the email inbox before we get to this wonderful email.
This sounds like a dad who needs to give us a talking to.
There's going to be some dad energy.
Am I in trouble?
No. Are we all in trouble?
No. One's going to Disneyland this summer. You're all going to summer school.
I'll stop sending you pictures of my penis.
No, that's not the complaint.
Oh,
the penis pictures are fine. Free with ads at MaximumFun.org. That's our email address. We love hearing from you. A lot of our emails are movie suggestions. We are not taking those at the moment. We're going to reserve the listener picks for special occasions.
That's right.
So, just hold on those movie suggestions. We'll let you know when we're taking them. Just to address some of the things people are suggesting over and over again, we will get to Repo the Genetic Opera at some point.
Obviously.
We will obviously get to Repo the Genetic Opera, the movie where Giles from Buffy steals people's organs, and it's a musical, and I think Paris Hilton is in it.
Yes, Jordan, you're going to hate this, but after we were done, we were going to talk about what to do next, and Repo Man is available, and I wanted to do that!
Oh, the Emilio Estevez one or the Jude Law one?
Yes, that's Repo Man.
Oh, let's do Repo Man.
Okay. I'm always down to do Repo Man.
But is that, but is that trolling our...
No.
I think they want to see. Listen, we're deciding it right now. Next week, Repo Man.
Because the thing is, we love a soundtrack. That is something that all of you know about us. And the Repo Man soundtrack is one of the most legendary movie soundtracks of all time. So I'm sorry, no Repo Genetic Opera, but
we'll do it. We'll do it at some point. We know you want to hear it. We'll do. We're saving it for a special occasion. So yes. So we'll do it.
Mommy needs Estevez.
Thing two I want to address, we've done Tremors. Thank you for everyone who's suggesting Tremors. We've done it. There is an episode about it. Missed it.
And
refresh your feed.
Don't like my opinions about it.
We like Tremors, right?
Did they not like it?
Is it problematic?
I remember we've gotten at least one email that said, I tried to listen to the podcast, but it's clear that you don't understand Tremors. And I was like, I thought we liked it.
Right? What did we miss about Tremors?
We didn't give it its proper due because it's someone who really likes Tremors.
Sure. And that's great. I think you're...
Was it a graboid who learned to email?
I can only
type
imagine.
In with the little tentacles that come out of the mouth.
Honestly, those tentacles are probably better at typing than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. So fair enough. But we love that movie. So
we even want
to go to Lone Pine and go to the thing.
Yeah. I think it just there are going to be people who discover this podcast, and the thing they discover is that in general, we think movies are fine. We don't think they're art.
Well, I also think it's very important to know that the two of you gentlemen may be in a different arena of literacy and writing and whatnot, but I thoroughly think that my contribution to this podcast is how fun I think something is.
Yeah, sure.
I am not a movie expert. I am not a critical. I'm not a critic.
None of us are. None of us.
And this is about how it's free and how fun it is when it's free. And so I may not be a brilliant movie critic, but
listen, the podcast exists to set Emily up for stories about public sex.
Yes,
okay?
Who cares?
Whatever.
Yes,
does
the movie make me horny? That is it. That is exactly. All of my input. There you go.
The movie that has to at some point lead to this sting. Fingering story.
So and all,
that's thank you.
It. All the podcast so, is. So yeah.
Quit
so,
looking to me for so, academia? Like, don't be
don't
looking
look
at
to Emily for
don't
academia.
Don't be coming to me about fingering shit.
But also,
then,
Emily, maybe don't read the comments so much. Maybe stay out of the comments.
Ugh, Jordan.
I know.
It's all I have. But
that doesn't seem like it's fun. Anyway, so yes, we've done Tremors. We're sorry if we didn't like it enough. We said we just kind of regular liked it, and yes, we did it. And if you we'll try and do one of the Tremors sequels soon. So there we go. I feel like I've addressed all the recurring things in the email inbox.
Yes
Let's read this actual email we got freewithads@maximumfun.org. That's the address. This is from Elise. They write, Hi Emily, Jordan, and Matt, I thought you would appreciate a podcast/cat related story since y'all love the kitties.
Aww.
I was driving one of my cats, Nira, to the vet today to get an ear hematoma drained. Gross,
oh,
but
God.
Necessary. She usually sings the song of her people nonstop while going to the vet, which gets old fast. I have tried 1,000 things to get her to stop singing to me over the years, but nothing has worked until today. On the way home, Matt, did you have a thought on ear hematoma?
No, I have a thought on singing the song of her people. We're talking about a cat?
I think the meowing. I think she was just saying meows in a cute way.
Got it.
Happy to go to a vet.
I was very confused, but now I understand. we're being whimsical.
We're being fun. Yeah, we're being kind of cute.
Memories.
Sorry.
All alone in the moonlight.
You have to understand, as soon as I had a child, I looked at my cat and said, oh, that's just a fucking cat. And so I lost the whimsy that comes with them. I'm very sorry.
It's not your little baby anymore, your fuzzy man.
Honestly, yeah. It's an argument against having children because
it makes you like the cat less.
Yeah, it does. it's so sad.
Matt, give me your cat.
No, I still love her a little, even though she shits everywhere.
Just a little. So yes, listener, taking the cat to the vet. Cat will not stop meowing in the car. Elise goes on to write, on the way home, I was like, screw it. I want to listen to Free with Ads. So I started playing the podcast, expecting to have her sing the whole time. I was listening to the Black Christmas episode and Nira got quiet and started listening.
Oh my God.
Sure.
Whisperers.
Sure. She would interject at times, probably commenting on the feminist themes, but she was largely quiet. Don't worry. She's also old enough to listen. She's 11, so like 60 in cat years. So thank you for getting my sassy little girl to take a chill pill at a significantly lesser frequency. Rock Aww. On from a cat lady librarian, Elise and Nira, the best cat.
I love that.
It's a fun feel-good story. I know I complained about everybody who emails us, but sometimes they're nice.
I feel bad about everything we said before
this.
It's
okay. We said nice things mostly, and the things that weren't nice were cut out, so they don't know.
Okay, so to make up for it, we are going to do a shot-for-shot reenactment of Repo, the Genetic Opera. We're going to do it.
You're making
these
a lot
are different
of
things. I don't think this writer cares about Repo the Genetic
You're making
opera.
A lot of promises for us.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll use all of my action figures. It'll be great.
It'll be great. You'll love it.
So yes, thank you. Yes, we do love your emails, freewithads@maximumfun.org. Hey, this would be fun. If you have here's an email I think we'd like to get. Would love to answer some of your questions at the top of the show. So these could be movie questions. These could be just fun either ors. These could be would you rather type questions. Doesn't have to be about the movies. Let us know. freewithads@maximumfun.org. And maybe we'll read a question or two on the air.
Jordan.
Yes.
If you have pictures of your cat with any Free With Ads merch... You want to send it
in? Oh, sure. That'd be fun. Yes, if you can listen. Free with ads. MaxFunStore.com. We got shirts. We got hats. We got pint glasses. If you can, you know, safely and humanely put Free with ads merch on your... Let's open it up to all pets. I bet we have some lizard weirdos out there.
Or next to.
Yeah, next to. Yeah, let's do that. And we'll highlight those on our social media. So yeah.
Oh, my God.
MaxFunStore.com.
A kitty cat with a bucket hat? Are you kidding?
That'd be fun. Everyone would like that.
Free with cats.
Jordan, yeah. A kitty cat drinking water out of the pint glass? Because you know they only drink out of human
cups.
That's true.
If you're drinking the water, they want to stick their little head in there. My cat has absolutely stuck her head in my Free With Ads pint glass.
Oh.
MaxFunStore.com. That's where you go to get your merch. Free With Ads at MaximumFun.org. That's our email address. And yeah, give us a follow on Instagram, Free With Ads Pod, and we'll post those pet pics if we get them. All right. We're going to talk about The Phantom of the Paradise, which does contain suicide. So if that's not something you want to hear us talk about, we're going to play some music to give you a chance to find another episode. We're back. It's Free with Ads. We are going to talk about The Phantom of the Paradise. This is a movie that I had been wanting to watch for a long time, a new popular cult movie, popular cult musical. These are all things I'm interested in, but I'd never seen it before. I, of course, knew the image of the Phantom, right? The guy with the kind of bird-like mask and the weird silver teeth. Mm-hmm. This was a popular t-shirt for goth girls who would not talk to me in high school.
Yep.
So I had always kind of, I knew the like imagery of this movie, but I had never actually seen it. Had y'all seen this before?
No.
Okay. Never seen it. Only heard about it from people who also liked Rocky Horror.
Oh, and, sure. Yes.
And so it was like.
Impossible not to compare these movies.
Right. So it was always like recommended to me to watch at some point. And every time I just would kind of go, I'd literally rather do watch anything else. Like I couldn't think of a good reason. I have a sort of it takes me a while to like watch a musical, right? Because I have to be like mentally prepared to enjoy it. And you know, so when this came Free with Ads, I was like, let's finally do it.
Let's
watch it.
I'd been seeing it on like clips on Instagram and TikTok. Once again, like so many of the things that I suggest end up being from insane clips that I see. I'd never even heard of this.
Right.
Oh, cool.
It's a very clippable movie. I have to say, watching it, I was like, yeah, I could see how someone could see a 1 minute long clip of this movie and be like, well, I have to know what is happening here. It is beautifully shot and completely strange.
Yeah,
it looks cool as hell, but the sounds.
Sure. Yeah. Let's get into it. We start with a little voiceover. Voiceover by Rod Serling from The Twilight Zone. Fun little cameo there.
No, yeah, that was him. I remember being confused because I was like, wait, when did he die? And it turns out he was still.
He dialed while recording this voiceover. he recorded it in a kiddie pool full of cocaine and had a heart attack.
He died a year later in 1975.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. Yeah. Then, wait. Oh, that was Casey Kasem.
Different guy.
I know. I was like, wait, who was doing Top 40 all those years?
There's Dick Clark.
You know, both of them had voices, though.
Yes, so, they both had great voices.
Why. And they look a little similar.
Well, Dick Clark definitely looks like Rod Serling. Rod Serling is, I mean, he's the GOAT. This guy, Twilight Zone, and he wrote him, you know?
Yeah,
this guy,
sure.
That's so crazy.
Cool voice. And this, it seemed like, okay, so this is going to be kind of Twilight Zone-y.
So yeah, it's the story of Swan, a famous record producer. He has no other name. His past is a mystery. He's a guy who's just constantly winning gold records. And one of the things that the narrator says about him, he brought rock and folk together. So this guy is responsible for Dave Matthews Band and John Mayer. Cool. Thanks.
This guy's responsible for Dylan going electric. Yeah.
Like, well,
cool. Everyone's favorite Dylan moment.
So he's starting an amazing rock club like no other called The Paradise. And his main band that he produces, his big hit band, is called The Juicy Fruits.
Mm-hmm.
We open on them.
The worst gum of all time.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of like a stick of Juicy Fruit.
It doesn't,
but, you know, different gums for different mouths.
The flavor goes away in gums. Five chomps. Like, yeah. It ain't shit.
Some mouths like certain gums, and I think that's beautiful.
All right.
I think
that is true.
Beautiful. We see the Juicy Fruits playing. They're a greaser kind of band. They make the teens from Greece look like Public Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They are very corny. They're wearing kind of like pink bowling shirts, and they're doing some kind of like doo-wop song.
Yeah.
This is happening, yes.
The Oneaters.
Before they became the Wonders with the W.
The Oneaters would dropkick these guys.
Right.
Speaking of, have you ever seen the video about how one of the dudes from ICP tried to dropkick Fred Durst, but ended up just like
falling
kind
and
of
hurting himself?
Yes.
That sounds like the ICP
sounds
guys.
About right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I have not seen that, but I totally believe it exists. Yeah.
I think the Oneaters would do that to this band.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe worth talking about this up top. I don't think the music in this is good. The music has the quality. You know when we watched All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we learned that the music in that is so weird because Burt Reynolds just wanted to sing whatever he wanted to, and later someone dropped in music.
Yep.
I don't know if that was the case with this. It sounds like it. It sounds like people are just singing doody doody doot doot doot, and then weeks later, someone on speed tried to like
do a lead vocal
tune. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
It's so strange.
Made a note. I sometimes do like Emily's notes at the end of our doc. I only had a couple of things, and one of them was favorite lyrics, and I only have one, and it's dream a bunch of friends. Dream a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
Like, he kept saying it, and it was like in the first song, and they never sang this song again.
Yeah.
Yet he was like so angry that they stole his music, and I'm like, I don't think you should.
You'd
be
probably
mad.
Bang out another one of those,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you
don't
can
worry
do
about
it.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
A little cocaine and one late night. I think you'll be able to get a few more mid songs.
Sure.
Yeah, this is like if Amy Schumer took your worst joke. Like,
right? Yeah.
Like,
who cares?
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, to bring up that thing you do yet again on this show, maybe even the most oft-mentioned movie on this show, like, the amazing thing about that, and, oh gosh, the guy who wrote all that music is the guy from Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
So the guy from Fountains of Wayne, who passed away not too long ago, wrote all the music for That Thing You Do, and I've heard it said, I'm repeating someone else's observation, that he had the insurmountable job of writing a song that felt like it was the biggest song in the world and you believed it, and he did it.
Yeah.
And he just wrote a song that you believed was the number one song whatever the year that takes place.
Like, it actually became sort of a hit song. It was
totally
so good.
Yeah.
It's
huge.
Better than the movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's other good songs that he wrote for that soundtrack that
right,
are
sure.
on there. But it was like Tom Hanks produced it. And they had a contest. People could just send in music. Anybody could have done it.
Mm.
And they didn't think they were going to find anything. And then that song went in there and did it. My family, the carpool on Westwood Avenue where I grew up, it was the Austin Powers soundtrack and That Thing You Do. Non-stop, baby.
Adam Schlesinger, the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P.
So anyway.
Legend.
So you're supposed to like believe in this movie that these songs are huge hit songs.
Yeah.
Not fucking one of these
is
memorable. They're all so weird and cokey.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, it's like part of the vibe of the movie. It's dreamlike, it's strange, it's kind of satire-y. But yeah, I feel like that prevented me from enjoying the movie. Like, the songs in Rocky Horror are great. Like,
right.
They're
amazing.
All so hummable and singable. Anyway, these songs are so strange.
It's kind of like, it's why I can't enjoy a movie about stand-up comedy, because there'll always be a scene in which someone is doing stand-up comedy.
And that's not even close to what it would sound like.
Yes, it's like no one's doing a good joke. You need a good joke in there.
Or a joke at all.
Yeah. Like, and it's usually because a screenwriter is attempting to write what he thinks stand-up sounds like. And those don't necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily the same thing.
Well, do you think that maybe, so I don't know when the musical Phantom of the Opera came out.
In 86 or something like that.
So that was after this.
Yes, but Phantom of the Opera had been around, you know, it's like a book from 1910 or something like that.
The music of Phantom of the Opera. So it felt to me like if he had heard the music for Phantom of the Opera and been like, fuck you, I hate the Beach Boys and I hate the musical Phantom of the Opera. I'm just going to take a diarrhea all over music and musical theater. Like, I don't know.
So the guy who wrote the music for this is Paul Williams, who plays Swan. And he is a famous songwriter. He wrote the fucking Rainbow Connection. Like, this guy, you know, he's written tons of hit songs that you know. But
I think he did some songs with Daft Punk later in life, too.
Wow.
And like, he's...
So I guess they have said that their helmets are inspired by this movie. So maybe
that makes sense.
Fun little full circle thing. But
that's pretty cool.
So yeah, this guy knows how to write a song, but I don't know. None of them in this movie, like, did anything for me. I thought the Beach Boys parody thing was funny, but other than that, like, anyway.
Yeah, well, maybe he didn't want to give us his best songs because he sold his soul to the devil.
That's true.
Sure, yes.
In the movie. And, like, he's like, well, I can't give you the best ones because I sold my soul.
Yeah, the problem is like, a lot of the music up top is music that is supposed to be a joke, sort of, about the genres that they, that at least Paul, what is it, Paul Wilson? What's his name?
Paul Williams, yeah.
Paul Williams hates,
he also plays the kind of weird Little Enos in Smokey and the Bandit. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I knew he looked familiar. And so, but the problem is not being, it's very of its time. So it's at a time where people are like, the Beach Boys is a punchline, you know, people kind of saw them as like this campy band that sold their soul to do surf songs, you know, throughout the Vietnam War, you know. So
yeah, what assholes to try to make us smile a little bit.
Fuck the Beach Boys. I know. And it's like that, you know, that piss take is just like, well, are any of these songs good? Like, I don't know. Maybe the Beach Boys are corny, but like.
Right, but do a good song in comparison or else this sucks.
Sure.
Well, it's also not a series of noises that from a split screen at moments.
Yeah.
Where it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the moment they're doing the Beach Boys parody, it is a split screen of what's going on backstage. So you're hearing the backstage conversation and this Beach Boys parody. And which, you know, cool filmmaking idea, I guess, but it made me feel insane.
Yeah.
Me too.
I
don't know about you guys. When I watch the movies that we do for this podcast, I don't usually just sit in one place and watch it. I'm usually like, you know, I'm kind of folding my laundry and doing, which I think that's good for watching movies at home, a free movie with ads. You should be able to live your life and watch the movie at the same time. This movie will not allow you to do that. will not. You'll be frozen in a herky jerky twitch in order to get through it.
Yeah.
So going on after the juicy fruits is Winslow Leach. He is a dude playing a piano. He makes Billy Joel look like a member of GWAR. he is, I think, supposed to be kind of an Elton John, kind of an artiste. He writes these songs that, you know, like that thing you do, you're supposed to believe these are going to be these giant hit songs, and they're just these kind of weird free association, hookless, chorusless noodlings. But anyway,
a bunch of friends.
Yeah, in the world of the movie, I guess these are supposed to be hit songs. He gets approached by Swan's goon to sell the songs. He says he won't do it if they're given to the Juicy Fruits. He'll let the Juicy Fruits open for him, I guess, but he won't sell the songs to them. The goon says, okay, well, we'll make an album with you and we'll give you a record contract. And he takes all the sheet music. And I guess the guy, like, buys this. A month goes by. He doesn't hear anything. He, like, sneaks into, like, the record company office death records.
Yeah.
Cool and, as fuck, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Cool. The logo was really cool. Sick. Yeah.
I'm sure there's Death Records shirts on Etsy somewhere.
Oh, 100%. My God. I need.
Yeah. Apparently, they were going to call it Swan Songs Records.
Sure.
Because obviously Swan, but they decided to change it because that became literally the record label for Led Zeppelin's like vanity projects. So they didn't want to get into a protracted legal battle over it, and they last minute changed it to Death Records. And honestly, great change. Cool dead bird as a logo.
There are hella Death Records t-shirts all over the internet.
I bet. I guess something we should mention too, a kind of, you know, ham-fisted analogy that comes back repeatedly. This guy is writing a rock opera about Faust, a character who's sort of
That not academia Fleming comes in.
Yeah, well then, for
can you... Can you guys real quick explain Faust?
It's like a German story about a guy who sells his soul to the devil.
Oh, and okay.
It's like you know, it's a Faustian bargain is, you know, you sell your soul, you know, you get the thing you want. But then, of course, you know, everything goes awry
because
you sold your soul.
Well, he could have just said Charlie Daniels.
He could
have. And then I would have understood.
Well, then nobody gets a gold fiddle in the movie.
Well. Yeah.
And nobody gets a good song either.
And nobody goes down to Georgia. So he is trying to like get them to acknowledge him. And I think the movie, like a lot of this movie is ineffective. Something I think works really well is this feeling he has of being like gaslit by them, of saying like, we never took your songs, like as a, you know, low on the totem pole, lower middle class creative person, the terror you feel that just like a fucking bazillionaire or a giant evil company will just steal your shit and you will be out on the street. Like,
It's relatable. It is relatable.
Yeah, totally.
And they burn your face too.
And I think he burned his face.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But inadvertently they burned his face. So yeah, he's trying to get this record contract. He goes into Swan's house, which has like no security. He just goes in, and there's a bunch of like women there auditioning with his songs. And he tries to infiltrate the house to get Swan to pay attention to him. And we see this moment of like what's happening in Swan's bedroom. He has this big circular bed.
But wait, we got to introduce the female.
He meets Phoenix.
Oh, sure. He meets Phoenix there. Phoenix will come back. She's this kind of nice gal who just wants to sing. Wants to sing her heart out.
Well, she's the actress from Suspiria as from the original. She's like
she had a fun 70s
horror icon. She's been in a lot of stuff. Like she does other roles.
She was
like,
in the Rocky Horror sequel as well.
Yes.
I didn't know there was a Rocky Horror sequel.
There is.
Oh my God, it's kind of
unofficial, I feel like, but it's written by the same guy who did Rocky Horror.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Fun fact.
Oh my God, we have to do that one. But she's her voice is the most okay voice I've ever heard. And
no one in this seems to be a good singer. We'll get to Beef at some point.
But hang on now. Don't you fucking shit on Beef.
Don't denigrate Beef.
You're a Beef fan. All right.
Oh, I think we know who the Hunk Watch is going to be for this episode. And I agree.
So he meets Phoenix there, and to kind of infiltrate things, he sneaks into like Swan's bedroom, and he has like all of these women kind of laying around rubbing each other on this circular bed. They're like, Swan likes to watch us before he joins. And I am like, here we go.
Yeah.
70s movie.
Yeah.
Like Hell Comes to Frogtown, assume this movie is going to be way hornier than it
100%.
Is. Basically, nothing else sexy happens in this movie.
They were even talking about taking off the chick's blouse, and I was like, do it!
Yes, and I was so excited.
They didn't even do it.
People are so clothed in this movie. About sexy rock and roll excess, everyone is wearing huge ponchos and jackets all the time.
I know. Well, the other thing was in Hell Comes to Frogtown, I told you guys about how I am, as a straight woman, somehow still very turned on by the Meatloaf music video with the women all.
Yeah, I can.
Silk.
I would do anything for love. Yeah.
This is the same fucking thing, and it wasn't hot to me this time.
Yeah,
it wasn't hot. It
yeah, if you think this movie is going to be some sort of like decadent, sexy rock and roll good time, it is not. So
sexy. It's not trying to be either, I don't think.
You know, yeah, I feel like it wants to be at certain times. There's that like weird sex scene between them anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing titillating happens in this. Unless
no.
you like silver
nothing
teeth
tit
and
at all.
No tits whatsoever.
But none. Yeah, I guess if you like bird masks and silver teeth, maybe you'll be horned up by this
and
movie.
Dead
and
by the way,
if
this
you
movie
do, go with God.
This movie is rated PG, by the way.
Sure.
It is.
Has some stuff in it. Anyway, yeah, maybe don't show this to your 8-year-old.
Right. But it's crazy that this movie is rated PG.
Totally, yeah.
I saw that and then I was like, oh, there won't be tits in this.
Wait. What is Rocky Horror rated?
That's a great question. I don't
because
know.
Because Rocky Horror is one of the most sensual experiences as like anyone I think you'll ever have. And mm-hmm. I don't know when that came out versus when this came out.
That came out a couple years later.
So Rocky Horror, what Rocky Horror was a play before this.
Oh.
This movie comes out and then a year later the Rocky Horror Picture Show comes out. So you know, and again, it's impossible to compare, not to compare these movies.
Uh-huh.
But I do feel like maybe they saw the play and ripped this off. This is my
I agree. That has to be it. Also, Brian De Palma seems like a bitter Betty. I'm gonna be real. Like this movie mm-hmm. just feels like I hate the Beach Boys, and like fuck that play that was trying to do this. Like little bit, but I mean.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's all the same guts for sure, but definitely
but
one of
Brian
these
De Palma,
movies.
You're still alive. You're 84. If you need anyone to write anything or get your coffee, we are all available.
Absolutely. Do you want to be a guest on a podcast?
Yeah.
Hey, get over here, you bitter bitch, Betty.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you here.
Come on, Brian De Palma. You want to watch Lara Croft Tomb Raider on Zumo Play? Join us. That might be fun to watch sometime.
I would love that.
Anyway, so the movie isn't sexy. Whatever our dude's name, who becomes the Phantom, he like dresses up in drag to like, you know, he's like in the pile of women. Again, this all should be sexy and fun. It's not. Mm-hmm. He's just like in the pile. He gets thrown out and like he gets drugs planted on him by the cops.
He gets
thrown into this jail. Where
Sing Sing, where they have to
Sing
take
Sing.
His teeth out.
Where
but that it's owned by Swan, the villain, owns the prison now.
Yeah. And again, this kind of like, I think it does a pretty good job of the paranoia of the giant corporation. Like this guy owns everything, so he's just fucked, like no matter what he does.
Yes.
I did think the gag of everybody at this prison has to get all their teeth pulled was good.
Yeah.
That to me is kind of a dark, funny, Brazil-y type joke that I liked. So he gets in this jail where he gets his teeth pulled. He gets the like silver teeth that maybe you've like seen on the posters and on the, you know, in the clips.
Cool
of this
as
thing.
Fuck.
Yeah, he looks super cool. He escapes jail somehow. He like gets in this cardboard box and kind of falls out of a truck. This little segment is kind of fun. It's a little zany. I think maybe you're kind of supposed to think of A Hard Day's Night a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
He's
kind
of sped up. But anyway, so he tries to blow up the record company with, and I appreciated this, a big bundle of dynamite. Now, would I have preferred it to be a giant circular black bomb with a wick at the top? Yes, that's the way you blow something up. But bundle of dynamite, pretty good.
It does the trick.
Does the trick. But
as long as the detonator is a thing that you have to push down like a T, you know, and
right.
just go
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, plunger. Yeah, that's a fun mm-hmm. way to blow up a bomb. And as we mentioned, he gets his face smashed in one of the record presses, scarring it so that he must don a mask. He must don a crazy.
But it was more than
mask.
Scarring it. It was putting his eyeball in a different place in his
yeah.
face.
It moved his eyeball. That's how bad he got burned. His eye moved.
Yeah, he turned into Sloth from mm-hmm. the Goonies, essentially.
Yeah. So yeah, he put, and again, this, like, this look of his is so fucking cool and genuinely pretty scary
and
like,
sexy
and maybe a little sexy. There's a lot of like cuts to him reacting to stuff going like, yah, 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 yah. And like his, every yeah. time they did that, I'm like, oh, that is my face when I'm looking at the Yelp page of the restaurant I'm going to that night.
Yummy, yummy. I'm gonna have the Brussels sprouts.
Which
I hope I have room for dessert. Ooh, well, sponge cake. When will 6 o'clock get here?
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed the context for this, but his mask that he takes on does look a lot like a bird mask.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which we've got Swan, who is our villain, and then mm-hmm. Phoenix, who is right. our female protagonist. Was he just going as the Phantom, or was there another bird he was
mimicking?
I mean,
he looks like a bird.
He looks like a toucan. He looks like Toucan Sam.
Yeah.
Goth.
I think there is. Sam. I think you have identified a genuine film motif. Which is,
there you go.
Bird.
Which is very academia.
Very academia.
But I mean, they could have, the Phantom, they could have called him, I don't know. There could have been some kind of a Phantom toucan. I don't know. There's a pun in there.
But you know what? The fact is, you identified it. And for that, we're going to give you this honorary degree.
Now, hang on. Just because I'm admitting that I'm not an academic does not mean that we can just stupefy me.
No, we haven't stupefied you. I'm saying you're right. That is the motif of it.
He looks like a bird, goddammit.
No, you are.
The guy's name is a bird name. What in tarnation?
Give me my gun. Pew, pew, motherfucker.
I'm literally not making fun of you. I'm telling you, you're right.
I know.
You are correct.
But the thing is, everybody starts painting their face like his character in the like chorus and stuff for things moving forward. And it makes you think, oh, is it supposed to be Swan? Is he like, I don't know. Either way, cool mask.
Cool
looks
mask.
Like a bird.
Looks awesome. Yeah. You can see like why the like image of this has like endured totally because it looks awesome. And yeah, so he like terrorizes the record company a little bit. Swan makes a deal with them. He's like, stop terrorizing me and I'll let you rewrite your musical. So they lock him in this like room with a bunch of synthesizers. Looks pretty cool. I guess it was an actual recording studio that Paul Williams used to make better songs than the ones that appear in this movie.
Sure, sure.
But secretly, they are trying to find someone to perform the music who is not Phoenix. The Phantom has said he only wants Phoenix to perform. And they're like, yeah, sure. But they stick her in the chorus and they try and find a new singer. I don't exactly know why. I don't know what their problem with Phoenix is. I guess they just want someone more
outrageous.
He
said something about she was too perfect.
Yeah, you're right. That's something like that.
It feels like a statement on hating. It's like very much the experience of Paul Williams and a producer he hates.
Yes.
And this is just like, you know, producers, how they're always like, you have the song, you have the perfect person, and they want to change it. And it's like, I don't know that, but that
I
could see how that sucks.
You know how you write a beautiful song and they give it to Kermit the Frog to sing?
Yeah. I was like,
great if he was bitter about that his whole life.
Been there, dude.
Yeah.
The other thing.
That was for Christine McVie.
I think that's 100% correct. But then I also think, this idea of someone being perfect for someone, for something, and then stringing them along to kind of make them more obsessed with pleasing you could be like his motivation to string Phoenix along the point where she knows she's better than these other people. And then the moment he gives her the opportunity, he's got her in the palm of his hand.
So he's trying to like, yeah, he is stringing her along, but he's like trying to replace her behind her back. And the guy he gets is Beef. That's right. Beef, who is supposed to be kind of like a glam rock guy. Maybe he's supposed to be kind of a Bowie pastiche.
You think it's Meatloaf?
Maybe there's a little Meatloaf in there. Yeah, all the glam guys from the 70s.
He's very camp. What I love about this character is the guy who's playing him is like he's doing an over the top like effeminate, you know, accent. He's got a lisp. You know, it's a lot of sibilant S's and stuff like that. And
well, yeah,
the character itself is mostly comic relief. Uh-huh. And what I enjoy is the fact that there's one guy, and we say this every time, there's one guy who knows what movie he's in. And this is sure. my guy. Maybe I'm watching
100%.
Him enjoying his performance is perfect. He's yeah. not a great singer necessarily, yeah. Or at least not in this movie.
Now, hang on.
I couldn't tell.
It's hard yeah, to tell.
I'd agree. Beef is funny in this. He does some like pratfalls that kind of got a laugh out of me.
Yeah.
It's
he understands like, okay, this is kind of like a stupid, silly movie.
Okay.
And so he's doing great.
I have a lot of opinions about stuff. I definitely think this is a dig at Meatloaf, especially
okay,
because
yeah.
we know that the musical came out and all that stuff. And I think Meatloaf was in the musical. I'm not sure.
Mm,
now that I'm okay. looking at it, I feel like there is some underlying, and you know what? This is an assumption, may not be true. There is a little bit of underlying homophobia.
100,000%.
To Juicy Fruits
yes.
at calling the Beach sure. Boys Juicy Fruits because yes. you don't like them at that in this time period. And then making this character that I think is referencing Meatloaf, who was in Rocky Horror,
yes,
maybe that. So I'm thinking there's something going on here sure. where there's some machismo.
100%.
I think Bowie was kind of like out at this point.
Yes.
So maybe there's a little bit of like, look at these gay guys and their
yeah.
right.
makeup. And so, yeah, I think that is absolutely here.
But I love yes. Beef. I think Beef right. was just said yes to a gig.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And did the best. He changed the octave as he should have. And mm-hmm. I thought once he got that, I think he was a good singer.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the thing is, okay, I don't think that you're supposed to be an amazing singer at everything. I think you've got to give it the oomph and
yes.
that you know, that something that makes you feel the music. You don't mm-hmm. have to be, not everybody's Whitney Houston, y'all.
That's right. Like, sure. That's right.
Yep.
Sometimes you just give it the.
Gotta have a unique.
Give it the
character.
Juice,
yeah.
if you
yeah.
will.
Yeah, the juicy fruits.
The beef.
Give it that.
The beef's got
give
the
it
juice.
The beef.
Yes.
Where's the beef? Here's the beef, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
so
yes,
I think,
completely.
Listen, I think, you know, Beef's performance, I think you can feel a lot of different ways about it. I think we can all agree he's probably the tallest person in the movie.
Oh!
Tallest guy.
That's
You're
Beef.
You're sure it's not Swan?
Yeah,
you know
don't
what?
Think
I,
so.
I do probably need to see them back to back before I can
yeah, yeah.
call. So
did
yeah,
you guys do that too when people wanted to go back to back with you? Matt, you've probably had this experience.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite game. I always
me
win.
Me too. As a girl, everybody's like, oh, we'll go back to back. And I'm like, just look at me in the eyes. You
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see I'm taller than you.
You're at my nipple level.
So Beef is the new like star of this show, this Faust rock opera. They do the like we get to see the play and it's like not as cool as you want it to be. The mm-hmm. like Juicy Fruits come out in like kiss makeup and they like have they like cut up these dolls. I couldn't tell if we're supposed to think they're actually cutting up audience members or not. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Which the audience was losing their mind over it.
The audience is freaking out. And it's that thing of like you're supposed to be buying that these are going to be the world's greatest songs and you just they're so weird and atonal. You just
uh-huh.
don't. And anyway, oh, and also, so Swan and Phoenix have a like a little love affair. They go to his circle bed, and you're like, okay,
oh,
here's the sex scene. And she just kisses him on the cheek, and they remain fully clothed.
Well, she does some pajama grinding.
She does yeah. some pajama grinding. They do grind pajamas.
But wait, we have to talk about
I've
how
heard of a BJ,
beef.
But a PJ?
But we have to talk about how Beef got set on fire and exploded.
When did Beef get set on fire and explode?
Before this.
Yeah, because... yeah. Yeah, this was... Beef dies. This is after, you know, the Phantom threatens him in a psycho, you know, in the
oh, yeah. shower scene.
There's a little, yeah, parody of the psycho shower scene
yes.
where the Phantom threatens him with a plunger, puts a plunger on his face. It's pretty funny.
Right. And,
super
and
funny.
He breaks out. Basically, they were trying to... Okay, so they were going to trap him in the room where he's writing all the songs
uh-huh.
By bricking it off,
oh,
which
yeah.
a plan
and
which
Corral and
immediately
Poe.
Fails because
he breaks out.
Because he just breaks out of the bricks.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he threatens Beef and he says, those songs are only for Phoenix, but, you know, in his robot voice. And then Beef is about to quit the show, and he does it in such like a great way where he's like, I'm a so professional. Good. When I say I don't want to do a show, I'm not going to do a show. And then the guy threatens him and he does the show anyways. And then on stage, as he's performing, the Phantom throws a neon lightning bolt at him.
Right. Yeah, which looks like a prop, I guess.
Don't know.
Yeah, it's like in the world of the show, is this a prop? Is this an actual lightning bolt? Where did he get
it? It's the
world
Power of the Rangers movie, logo.
Yeah, sure.
It actually was. And then he gets electrocuted and then explodes.
Explodes.
And sets on fire and they take forever to like
put him out,
to extinguish it. And then Swan goes over to Phoenix and goes, now you have to sing the songs,
right?
And she goes out and does the okayest job.
Oh, so I guess the
and then
twist,
everybody loses their everyone loses their mind. Minds.
The like twist I guess I passed over is that we see this like very tepid PJ sex scene between Swan and Phoenix. The Phantom is watching this. He he just has a knife. He like stabs himself, but he can't die. And we learn that Swan has a very on the nose backstory where he, like the main character of Faust, made a deal with the devil to stay famous, and he can't die. So he can't die because they're both contractually linked to each other. That logic makes
it's
make
like
a ton
it
of
follows.
Sense.
Like,
yeah, it's a little bit like an it follows. So yeah, they both like try and kill themselves and can't.
It's so stupid because it's like you can't have more Faustian bargains. Not everyone can have a deal with the devil. You can't just keep doing that over and over
again.
Well,
maybe his like deal with the devil is that he has to keep getting people contractually obligated.
It's like an MLM, but with the devil.
Right. Well, no, exactly. It's
then
like
he has
the Swan ring.
To sell a bunch of leggings he has in his garage.
He's got to sell some Cutco knives.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like the ring where it's like I make a tape and you got to watch the tape, and then it is. It's exactly like an MLM.
I love multi-level marketing devil. He's a real son of a bitch. I mean, I know he's evil, but this is really, really dastardly.
Yeah. You know, I think that the sad thing is that the devil is probably not as evil and exciting as we think he is. He's probably mundane as fuck.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
that with MLMs. I think that is where he lives.
Well, it's going to be selling supplements in the afterlife.
Girl.
So Swan has this plan to kill Phoenix on stage for some reason. He hires a sniper. And before we talk about the weird, confusing ending of The Phantom of the Paradise, we're going to hear a little message. We're back. It's Free With Ads. We're talking about the conclusion of The Phantom of the Paradise. So, yes, as we mentioned, Beef gets blown up with a lightning bolt. the Phantom, as the Phantom of the Opera also does, is kind of like sneaking around up in the wings, up on the, you know, proscenium or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's throwing stuff down.
Nice.
Yeah,
proscenium.
Good word.
I don't know if that's what it's called.
Boy,
maybe
not. The comments are going to take that comment.
Yeah. I'm going to get roasted for misusing proscenium.
No, it was the perennium.
Perennium, sorry.
Perineum.
Yes.
Perineum, I just met him. We're having fun.
The perineum, it's the little ramp backstage between the penis and ball.
That's the Phantom of the Perineum.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, so like Phoenix is the star of the show. There's these like bikini dancers who are just kind of like gyrating around her, and she just gets on stage and kind of spins around. They didn't give her any choreography. She's just kind of randomly spinning.
Mm-hmm.
But the Phantom saves Phoenix, and he jumps down and I think stabs Swan, and then like everybody turns on Swan. I don't know if it's supposed to remind you of like people killing Caesar, but maybe that's kind of what it's supposed to look like.
Well, there's something about with his deal he made with the devil. Yes. It was about him staying young and beautiful, technically.
Right.
And so he had this kind of Dorian Gray, like a video.
Yeah,
thing.
No,
Gray, literary reference.
Exactly.
Somebody's in academia.
Look at that.
Woo!
Look at academia down there.
Somebody got horny to Penny Dreadful. Anyway, so anyway, he's got
shout
a,
out to Reeve Carney.
But also very The Ring coded, where it's like his instead of a painting, it was a video recording that he had to like reference every night in order for him to stay beautiful. And I think when our Phantom was watching it, he had destroyed it.
He burned down his video room. Yeah, exactly. You knew it was a video room because every single video said video on it.
Yes.
So he nullified all the contracts, I guess?
I guess. Or he made him not beautiful anymore.
Yeah.
So at the wedding, which this was a wedding for Phoenix and
Live
Swan,
on TV.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Like,
sure.
Live.
That he was going to kill her at.
Yes. And I think that is supposed to be a sacrifice in some way. I think that the point was muddled, but in my opinion,
because he's bad.
Well, he forced her to sign a contract in blood the same way he made the Phantom sign it. And I feel like he was going to take her voice, which is like a Little Mermaid thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
And or a Phantom of the Opera thing. So when he like shit goes down, his face comes up and is looking at her and it's all burned off.
Right.
And you assume that's because he fucked up his Dorian Gray video?
I guess. I don't know. But
I'm just accepting it as that. That's what I think.
I think that's a fine explanation.
Thank you.
To whatever happened in this at the end of this movie.
I just like things confusing. To like be somewhat,
sure.
You know.
That makes sense. That sounds fine to me.
Thanks.
Yeah. And that's the end of The Phantom of the Paradise. We are going to rank it on a scale of 1 to 10 super loud commercials. But first, you know we got to do the Hunk Watch.
Yay!
It's Hunk Watch.
Emily, I'll let you kind of like take this home because I think you have the biggest opinions here. I'll just say one of the juicy fruits at the beginning was smoking a cigarette while he was playing the guitar. That guy was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
That's my guy, the guy who smokes and plays the guitar.
Yeah.
Matt, did you have any thoughts?
I mean, it's got to be Beef. Beef made the movie watchable to me. Mm-hmm. Because even in the scenes where he's singing, even if I'm not fully enjoying the singing, I was enjoying watching his performance of it. And like I said, he's the one guy who gets that he's in a movie that's stupid. And I respect that. He was very attractive.
Emily, these are your, you share these thoughts?
Yeah, Beef is my guy. I liked that he was actually a good guy. I like characters that are seen as vain and frivolous that are actually, they have a heart of good, heart of good goddamn gold.
Yeah.
And they, just because you're frivolous and selfish doesn't mean you don't give a fuck about other people.
All right.
And I think he's one of those guys, but also he's hot and he's got that curly head of hair and he's got a cool voice, not a good voice, a cool voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, a movie that should have had more hunks. I feel like one of the things it was missing. I mean, it's a movie about how, I guess, like glam rock sucks or something. So I figure like we'll have some more glam guys in it. What are we doing? Hot dudes show the chest.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, and again, you hate to do this. Rocky Horror is so full of hot people.
Yes.
You know? Anyway, so if they were like ripping it off, they like didn't, they got so much stuff wrong.
That's the
Hunk Watch. We are going to rank this movie on a scale of 1 to 10 super loud commercials when we come back.
Yeah.
We're back. It's Free With Ads. We're going to rank this movie, The Phantom of the Paradise. I almost said Repo the Genetic Opera.
No!
On a scale of 1 to 10 super loud commercials. But first, we want to remind you to go to MaximumFun.org/join. You become a member and you get to hear all our bonus episodes, including our most recent one on the pilot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. We had a blast talking about that show. And you get all our bonus episodes, and you get all of the bonus episodes from all of the Max Fun shows.
Hell yeah.
On Jordan Jesse Go, we just did a review of Godzilla vs. Kong with Elliot Kalin from The Flophouse. We reviewed that movie because it has podcasting in it. That's what we're doing for our bonus episode.
Oh,
we're reviewing
cool movies
that have podcasts in them. So, yeah, so check it out. All the shows have really cool, weird, fun bonus episodes, us included. Go over there to MaximumFun.org/join and keep the show going. All right, we're going to rank Phantom of the Paradise on a scale of 1 to 10 super loud commercials. Emily, let's hear from you first. What'd you think?
Okay, so I love camp, you know me, and I like silly and I like big swings, but I don't like it when it's got hate in its heart.
Mm.
And I feel like this movie had nothing but disdain and hate in its heart. Mm. The joy wasn't there to me. I want to see something that is joyful and, or at least is, I mean, it's definitely a good movie to have on the background of a party, of course. That's one of my main things. But you can't even have it on in the background of doing stuff around your house because it's like, I don't know. It's just so jarring. I would rather watch Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Twice.
Back to back than watch this movie ever again. It is a two for me.
Two. Matt Lieb, what do you think?
Shots fired. I mostly agree, although my rating is going to be a little bit higher because I found there to be some redeeming aspects to it, but I agree. It was, I could only see it as coming from a bitter and hateful place.
Yeah.
there was just something about it where it was just kind of like, sort of hackneyed, and which is kind of maybe unfair because maybe it was groundbreaking, but to me, man, aren't record producers like the devil?
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like a groundbreaking insight. And also the music wasn't great. And I feel like if the music isn't great, what are we really doing here? And yes, I do feel like there was sort of a latent homophobia to the whole, not just the Beef character, but sort of the anti-glam rock stance that it felt like it took.
Yeah.
Which in the 80s really, I mean, goes hardcore in that direction.
And in the 70s. I feel like...
Well, the 70s was the beginning of sort of the backlash of the 60s and sort of like, all of our men aren't men anymore, you know?
Yeah.
They're wearing makeup and high heels.
Yeah. They're doing dresses.
And they look awesome.
Like, yeah. And they look cool and they fucked way more than you ever will. So what are we talking... What are we really doing here?
Yeah.
Why are you mad? So there was a little bit of that for me, although, again, I don't know if it's fair to say if it meant to be that way. But visually, cool movie to look at. I'm going to give it a 4 because of how awesome the makeup was and how awesome the costume design was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go right in between you guys. I think it was a 3 for me. I was kind of surprised I didn't like this more. I like all this stuff. I'm like, great. I like camp. I like a rock musical. I like a cokey weird 70s thing. All the stuff we've mentioned, and I think just the main crime is that the music isn't great. Like if it would have had an awesome Beach Boys parody that you were humming, or if it had a great glam parody that like felt like, the coolest glam song you never heard in your life, it would like that, even if you are sending this stuff up, Weird Al Yankovic. It has affinity for the music he's parodying, I thought if the songs were better, it would be a totally different ball game. But I think like last week's Hell Comes to Frogtown, I think this movie works so well in clips, and maybe that is just the best way to experience it. Check out a couple clips, you know, see some of the set design, see his weird costume, which is genuinely very cool. And but yeah, don't feel like you need to waste a movie night on this thing, in my opinion. All right, let's do a little plug in. Emily, think you got anything coming up?
I mean, as always, I'm gonna say go check out Good Mythical Weekend on Saturdays on the GMM channel on YouTube. You can just put in GMM and then it'll pop up, and Saturdays we're all on there. Go check that out.
Matt, anything?
Yeah, you should, if you are in the Los Angeles area, please come out to the Ice House in Pasadena, where my wife, Francesca Fiorentini and we have a monthly show over at the Ice House. It is called New World Disorder. We have our next one on October 1st. So please, if you are in Los Angeles or Pasadena or Altadena or somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area, please come.
Alameda, maybe?
Sure. Well, that's far.
But that's maybe a little far. That's maybe a little far.
But if you're in Alameda.
If you're in Alameda and you want a nice long weekend trip.
Yeah, drive down to L.A., take a boat, or take a plane, or take a car. And
Camp Anawana?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know.
Yeah. I hold you in my heart.
Right. This thing came apart.
Yeah.
Farce.
Hope we never part. Now get it right or pay the price.
Look at that. Do we all know Hey Dude? Maybe. No, wait.
No.
Wait, what show was that? Excuse me. Salute Short. Yes. Hey Dude was also very good. Oh, look at us. Are we 90s kids?
Do you remember the... you know you're old.
Kill me.
You can... See the
kill me,
kill us.
I want to die.
Yeah, so please come out to the Ice House, it's gonna be really fun. Link in bio.
Yeah, also, something else for you lucky folks in the Southern California area. I'm gonna be at LA Comic Con September 26th through 28th. I'm gonna be tabling at JO7. You can remember that by remembering Jack Off 7. That's where I'll be. At the table, I'm gonna have a new guest with me every day. So I'm gonna have a buddy with me selling stuff. So it'll be me and a rotating group of pals selling stuff at LA Comic Con, September 26th through the 28th. And on the 27th, I will be doing a panel 1 p.m. 4:07 with a bunch of other cool comics writers. So come see that. Come to the table. Get some stuff. Remember, Jack Off 7. That's where I'll be.
Jordan.
LA Comic Con.
Will you reveal one or two of those people in the future? Like, will you give us a sneak peek?
You know, I can do that right now. I'll do it.
Wow.
On the 26th, joining me will be Max Fun's own Jesse Thorne. He's
going
to be selling weird stuff from the his online store that put this on shop. He has a bunch of weird pop culture stuff he'll be selling. On the 27th, my buddy Eliza Skinner will be with me selling her pop culture ceramics.
Oh,
and
shit.
On the 28th, Rob Kuttner, a great comedy writer, will be there selling his comics and graphic novels, and I'll have copies of comics for everybody. So come down, hang out with those cool folks and me at LA Comic Con the 26th through the 28th. Okay. Tune in next week when our movie will be Repo Man.
Woo!
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artists-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.